I have come to the spiritual home of the Manosphere, Miami. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And I knew to pause, because I knew that laugh was coming. It was truly the best line in this whole documentary. This is a very special edition of Kung Fu Pizza Party, marking the first documentary, full-fledged documentary, to hit the library, the movie library here on the show, as we sit down to review Louis Theroux's Inside the Manosphere. And joining me here today for this review, making her return to the dojo, is my wife, Claire. Claire, welcome back.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Do you think we can do that for this episode, 30 minutes or less, for this review?
If we spend more time than that on it, I will probably
jump into the lake. Yeah, so last time you were here, we talked about a different Netflix exclusive, K-pop Demon Hunters.
Heck yeah.
Something that we have let producer Cooper watch several times. Louis Theroux's Inside the Manosphere, when that ended, you said, producer Cooper is never allowed on the internet.
Yep.
So, I kind of want to start here and get, like, the easy thing out of the way first. And just say right off the bat, as a piece of media, I thought it was well made and well produced, and I enjoyed it for what it is, disregarding the entire subject matter.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
I read, so this was the first time I have ever seen a documentary hosted by Louis Theroux, so I did some reading up on him. Apparently, he's like top shelf John Oliver. He's like,
oh, okay.
A lot of what he does is investigating, doing documentaries on subcultures and justice systems and sex worker rights and things like this. A lot of subculture stuff, and usually with a bit of dry humor packed into it. Nice. So he's kind of like a little bit more sophisticated version of John Oliver for all you Last Week Tonight people. We're all saying a prayer for Last Week Tonight since Paramount.
Oh, God.
He's got a new business daddy. But we're here today to talk, maybe, we'll see. But we're here today to, again, to talk about Inside the Manosphere, a documentary that took the internet by storm for a moment.
Oh, did it?
Yes, it was all over the place in my world. Was it not all over the place in Bookstagram world?
No.
Oh. That's a bummer. Yeah, over in my world where I see Manosphere content and Manosphere reaction, yeah, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of people talking about this documentary. It wasn't very, I thought it was really good, and I thought they handled the subject really well, but there's a lot of criticisms towards this documentary. I have been familiar with the Manosphere for a while now. This served more as your, like, proper introduction to the world of the Manosphere.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I know what it is, but, like,
what did you learn? How about we put it that way? What did you learn? What was confirmed? What made you say producer Cooper is never allowed to go on the internet?
I don't know. I just learned that men are stupid.
Is that it? Is that all this comes down to?
I don't know. I feel like
she's really,
I don't know,
just rolling her. Can you hear the eye rolls right now? Do you need a moment to, like, compose thoughts?
I just want men. I don't. These men are not talking to women.
Well, yeah.
And then they claim to be experts on what men want, on what women want, all of these things. And it's like, have you ever spoken to anyone before? Like, or do you just live on the internet? That's the thing. It's like, I'm convinced these people are not ever having just genuine conversations with other humans. Everything is for media, everything is for views, everything is for clicks, everything is for a hot topic or a hot take. Like, have you ever just sat, like, do you ever just sit down and, like, have conversations with normal people about normal life? Because I'm convinced that these people are not speaking to regular people.
Well, they're not, but they would say that you're the one not living in reality. Remember the so let's explain manosphere for a second. So the theology of the the doctrines of the manosphere are, let's see, help me out here if I forget any: misogynistic, homophobic, racist, very anti-Semitic.
Well, yeah, just everything that's wrong with the internet.
Just everything that's wrong with the internet. This is a subculture of basically incels that has moved beyond subculture and has infiltrated mainstream culture.
Yeah.
Especially some of the more powerful, influential people in the manosphere. Basically, you have to escape the matrix. You have to get out of the matrix and accept the fact that all these things that society is telling you about feminism, about mental health, about racial reckonings, that it's all a lie and all a way to oppress men. And I'll even point out, not exclusively white men.
I mean, yeah.
Though mostly white men are going to be the guys attracted to it. But it's a way to oppress men. It is going to destroy Western civilization and what am I looking for? Moral foundations? Is that the phrase I'm looking for? So you have to escape the matrix.
Escape being a normal human being.
And
live your entire life on the internet and in front of a podcast microphone and never do anything else.
Take the red pill and become your own person. Now. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Do you have anything that you want to say towards all of that?
About the whole red pill being from the Matrix.
Yeah, can we talk about the red pill from the Matrix? Because you have something to say and I have something to say. So you go ahead first.
Both of the creators of the Matrix,
the Wachowskis,
are transgender women.
Yes. And they have talked about how the Matrix was actually supposed to be a metaphor for coming out.
Right. And like, then these people are going to sit here and be like, no, it's so that I can be a big douchebag.
Yeah, so I'm gonna piggyback off of that a little bit, because to me, the guy who bases his entire personality off of the Matrix, whether it's these guys or just other hipster doofusy guys who base their entire personality and film perspective off of the Matrix, are no better than guys who base their entire personality off of Fight Club. It's such middle school.
Like, you didn't understand this movie.
It is such middle school horseshit to be like,
oh, are we allowed to cuss on here? I wasn't sure.
Okay, do you listen to Paige and Pixel? Because Pixel was on the show, and she was ripping.
Oh, yeah.
She was ripping. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
When it's fitting, we'll let something rip, but
okay.
But yeah, it's like The Matrix was cool, and from what I've seen of Fight Club, like, I get part of the allure of Fight Club, not the toxic part, but just like the cool twist of Fight Club.
I'm pretty sure or Fight Club. Like, the point of that movie is that, like, this masculinity is going to be the downfall of humanity.
Gen X masculinity. Yeah. It's supposed to be very much a take on Gen X masculinity being, like, unchecked.
Yeah.
And what could happen kind of thing. Anyway. So, yeah. You have all these, like...
Anyone who's not an idiot knows what the movie Fight Club is really about.
By the way, has anybody checked on Edward Norton? Because during the World Cup, he was shown just talking to himself.
Go away. I'm not...
It was funny.
It was funny.
It's fine. It was funny. I'm trying to grow my hair out like Brad Pitt. No?
Not like Brad Pitt.
Not
You're
like Brad Pitt.
Just trying to grow your hair out.
Okay, fine. Anyway, back to the Manosphere. So, as Claire has said several times over, basically, and Louis Theroux points this out in the documentary as well, is that a lot of these men experienced some form of trauma growing up in broken homes, growing up below the poverty line, whatever the case may be. And instead of getting help, like we should be getting, as a man, I'm saying that as a man, like instead of going to therapy and putting in some actual work, instead they found a subculture that allows them to blame others for their perceived oppression. Because I'm not gonna say that the man that I am oppressed. I'm not going to buy that.
I mean, you could be for other reasons. Like if you live below the poverty line, there is oppression there. It's just you've never been oppressed because you're a man.
Correct.
I
am not oppressed for my gender identity.
Right.
I was profiled once for where I lived, but it's because I wasn't actually in the room when that happened.
Yeah. I feel like it's less you and more so just a stereotype of the area that you are from.
Yes. Hammond, Indiana.
Rather than you specifically.
Rather than me specifically.
But yeah, it just... I don't know. I just... Dismissing the lived experience of millions of people because you want to feel better that because you made it out of that awful situation, like... Like, good, I'm glad you're not living in poverty anymore, but that doesn't mean that those issues don't exist. It doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. Like, you not experiencing those things does not mean that they're fake. And, like, that's just such a... I mean, I feel like it's a consequence of how hyper-individualist our society has become.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, it doesn't matter what other people think. I haven't experienced it. I haven't seen it for real, so it must not be true, and everyone else is just making excuses. And because, look at me, I overcame the poverty, I overcame, you know, the racism or the oppression or whatever, and I'm doing fine, so everyone else must just not be doing it because they're not working hard enough or they're doing something wrong. So listen to me. And because even though I'm clearly the outlier here, I know what I'm doing. So listen to me and you can be just like me. Even though they talked to those two men who, like, the guy was, like, living in his car forever.
Yeah.
It's like...
Actually homeless.
Like, you're actually homeless, but... These people have you convinced that eventually you're going to be rich. It's just a pyramid scheme for men.
It's a pyramid scheme for men, or something I thought of while you were sitting there talking is that, and I guess this is just because of how my brain is wired, it's a little bit prosperity gospel.
Yes.
It's a little bit, I have the secret. I know how you can get success. Follow me and give me tons of money. Buy my courses.
Yeah.
And you can be just like me.
When in reality, the reason why these people have all this money is because they are swindling people out of their money for these bogus self-help courses. So unless you are going to turn around and then also sell bogus self-help courses, you are not going to be like these men.
They have so many streams of income. These guys are live streaming 24/7, getting clips made so that instantly, so that way they can monetize off of that. They're selling courses, and of course, trafficking human beings. That's how the Tate brothers made their money. Let's talk a little bit about who's profiled in this and who's not, because I did a little bit of research on that. So in this doc, Louis Theroux profiles H.S. Tiki-Taki. I refuse to use any of these people's real names. Sneeko, Myron Gaines, Justin Waller, and Ed Matthews. And I would say through the course of the documentary, the main focus really is H.S. Tiki-Taki.
Oh my God.
He was there beginning, middle, and end. And his life is basically live streaming 24/7. He didn't even know how to shoot a documentary. He was talking to the cameras from the get-go. It was hilarious.
That guy, I feel like he just was like, oh, you want to walk around and have a camera on me? Yeah, absolutely. I don't care what you're doing. I'll do that. Like,
yeah,
he just seemed like he was like, this will make great content, so I'm going to do it. And I feel like the rest of the guys were like, we know why you're here.
Yeah, H.S. Tiki-Taki is just straight up a content farmer.
Yes.
Like,
that's what he does.
And he's was very open about it in the documentary of like, I'll say whatever I need to get clips.
Yeah.
Like, he has no stance. And I do think that makes him unique compared to some of the other guys here who I feel like they actually walk the walk. Like,
right.
Sneeko, he's not in this very much.
Yeah.
But like, he is a alt-right conspiracy theorist. Everything's a Satanist through and through. Justin Waller, who's kind of like the second, with his, one-sided monogamy.
Oh, yeah. Which, like,
look, you do you. You do you, brother.
Your relationship is your relationship. I'm not gonna, like, if your wife or whoever doesn't want to have any other relationships and you do and you're open about it and you're communicative, like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, your relationship is your relationship, but to call it one-sided monogamy and to say that women don't ever want anything outside of their one man is wild.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. There's also the fact that a lot of people think that all of these guys are also gay and they're all closeted.
Well, I don't really know if I like that, because I feel like I don't know. I don't think that they are. I don't think they all. There probably are some people who are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just repressed. And so now they're projecting it onto other people. I'm sure some of them are not. I mean,
one of the other names I mentioned there was Myron Gaines, who I don't like him. Like, it's easy to not like Andrew Tate, a man who has trafficked human beings.
Right.
Like, but Myron Gaines is like H.S. Tiki-Taki in that he will say whatever he needs to get clips,
right?
But he also has no backbone. Like, yeah. Tiki-Taki will stand, if he stands for anything, it's the fact that he stands for nothing.
Right, and he's
Myron Gaines is a completely different person in the documentary.
Yeah.
He's soft. S-A-W-F-T, soft. Uh-huh. And famously, so during the documentary, while they were filming, Myron Gaines had a girlfriend, his first girlfriend, and before the documentary even wrapped, they broke up, she broke up with him, and is living a much better, happier life now.
Good.
And even tried to, she did reach out to Netflix to see if they would cut her parts from it.
Yeah, I think you told me that.
Which wasn't even that much, because she clearly didn't want to be there.
No. And, like, I wouldn't either, because, like, I feel like the whole time this man was just standing there staring at her and, like, waiting for her to say something out of line so that he could then probably, at minimum, verbally abuse her later.
True. Yeah. I felt that that was happening a lot, too, with Justin Waller, of, like, not letting his wife speak, even though she was speaking for herself.
Right. Like, perfectly capable. And he just, like, wanted... Well, because remember, he didn't even want her at first, want mm-hmm. her or her...
The kids.
Or the kids on camera.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning.
And then halfway through, that changed for...
Yeah, some reason.
Reason X. There are a few people who were not in the documentary. So the final boss, Andrew Tate, is talked about but was not in the documentary despite their best efforts. I had read that they did reach out to yeah. Tate, and he said, I am the most important person on the planet. Who are you? Hopefully that happened right around the same time he got knocked out in his awful kickboxing match.
Good. Oh my God. Hopefully. I could watch that over and over and over and over again.
Two other people who were not even represented in the documentary. First off, we have alt-right politician Nick Fuentes. He shows up in the Manosphere. He has debated Louis Theroux in the past before. I read that his debate with him, I think it was like 2022. So like right when we first invented Nick Fuentes, that it was part of this like debate and getting to understand Nick Fuentes that helped him, Theroux, move towards wanting to do this dive.
Gotcha.
Also, okay, I refuse to call this man a philosopher, so Western civilization advocate Jordan Peterson is not in this documentary whatsoever as well. Completely out. I've refused to call him a philosopher.
Does he call himself a philosopher?
I mean, technically, based off of his education and his research, I think you could call him a philosopher or a something, but I refuse. He Western civilization moral majority advocate.
Moral
I don't know.
Majority, that's what it is.
I don't think that's the one I'm looking for, but I'm going to stick with it because we all kind of know what I mean by that.
Here's the thing. You say all of these names.
Yeah.
And even though I watched the documentary and I saw all these people, all of these different men are all just amalgamated into one, like, super blob of a basic dude.
Basic.
Like, Jordan Peterson, Andrew Tate, the other ones.
Myron Gaines.
those are all the same person to me. They might as well be. They are all just one hive mind to
me. And what's interesting is that some of these guys are friends. I think Tate, Sneeko, and Gaines are all buds.
Okay.
But they're also, like, not all affiliated at the same time, you know? Like, they kind of come at this all at different angles. Like, Sneeko's a Muslim. And these other guys, like, they have no, like, strong religious background,
really.
Justin Waller's probably some Christian nationalist based off of the everything about him. But...
Yeah, I don't know.
As we start to get down here to the last little bit of our time here today, so are Tradwives next? Inside the Tradwives sphere?
I mean, I don't know if there's a documentary about it yet, but...
Did you see that Anne Hathaway has bought the film rights to... It's a book?
Yesteryear,
yeah. They're going to do...
I cannot decide if I want to read that book. I have heard either it's absolutely phenomenal or it's absolutely terrible. The problem is that... A lot of people, I feel like the reason they're saying it's terrible is because the main character is insufferable, but, like, that's the whole point.
Right.
But then I have read or watched a couple critiques on it of, like, how she kind of stumbled into it all making sense by just giving up on her research for her of, like, this, like, conservative Christianity, the author.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, and basically just, like, did whatever. And so, like, she didn't do any research, but also, like, sometimes with evangelical Christianity, we're just making it up.
We're just making it up anyway.
So none of it really matters. So I haven't decided if I want to read it or not. I know that there is a horror book out called Tradwife. that Ooh. I might read.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think she, like, I feel like it's, like, some kind of, like, she makes, like, a deal with the devil to have a baby or something like that.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though.
Okay. Well, a lot of identity is wrapped up in that. Having a baby. Not making yeah. deals with the devil. Having a baby.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love a documentary on the Trad Wife
movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another alt-right pipeline, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Just one last thing. I know you're not supposed to give the thesis to the episode at the last 5 minutes of it. But the reason why I wanted to cover it here on the show is because martial arts are great. It's a great source of community, physical health, character, moral growth, the whole bit. And there's some great, I've had some great dojo experience. I've had great masters over the years. But if you're around the internet long enough, you will see that this way of thinking, whether it's manosphere or just toxic masculinity, broadly speaking, the martial arts can still very much be a boys' club. Not that women can't do it and aren't successful at it. That's not what I'm saying. It is very much still environmentally a boys' club, and there can be some very toxic voices out there. So I wanted to bring this documentary forward just in case you missed it. Just as a way to show that, like, at least positionally for myself, I'm not about that way of thinking, that way of life.
Yeah, because I'd leave you if you were.
That too. But, you know, trying to continue to make myself and this show a more welcoming, inclusive environment. And so the manosphere has no space here. And it needs to be something that we understand better and can kind of sniff out better as we're engaging with social media.
Yeah. There's this guy that I recently started following, and his whole thing is teaching people to have media literacy on social media.
Good.
And, yeah. like, he uses, like, he talks about, like, manosphere content and how sometimes it can be really sneaky and how they mm-hmm. sometimes will get you by posting something that is, like, pretty generally, like, accepted. Like, oh, yeah, that's a good opinion. So then you follow them because you don't go and look at their page.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you've got these other things pulling up on your page and you don't, it's very
That's
sneaky.
Exactly right. Yeah. Sneaky.
I can't remember that creator's name, but I really like stopping and learning from him just so that, cause like it can happen to anyone. Falling down an alt-right pipeline, falling down, it can happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. No one's immune, and you have to stay vigilant on the scary, scary internet.
Scary. We should all get off.
Yeah, that's congrats. Like, good. Really interesting. I mean, it's like blinking outside.
And this episode's coming out the day before the 4th of July, so, you know, you can, like, go blow your fingers off or something. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend, and check out the other shows here on the Amazon Podcast Network, like Page and Pixel and Systematic Ecology and My Sister Show.
I don't know anything.
Paige's voice is hot. You should listen. You can follow Claire on Instagram at Reader of the Rebellion and Kung Fu Pizza Party at Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram as well. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.